All right, let's go ahead and open to Psalm number 32. So kung meron kang Bible, lagay mo sa Psalm 32. All right. Psalm number 32. At ang una natin makikita, matapos natin ma-identify yung Psalm 32 sa Bible natin, sa ilalim niya nakasulat, a Psalm of David, maskil. A Psalm of David, maskil. So anong ibig sabihin itong maskil? Alam natin yung a Psalm of David. Ibig sabihin, ang nagsulat ng salmo o yung awit na ito ay si King David. Pero ano ba ang ibig sabihin ng maskil? Well, yung salitang maskil, ito ang pangunahing maskil sa buong aklat ng Psalms. At this is the 13th there are 13 maskils in the book of Psalms. 13 maskils in the book of Psalms. And this is the first maskil. Now we understand what a Psalm of David means. That means David wrote the psalm. But what is the word maskil? What does the word maskil mean? Well, we're not exactly sure what the word maskil means, but there's a clue in the word maskil that has the suggestion or the idea of the word teaching or understanding. Teaching or understanding. This is a psalm that is skillfully written by David with much instruction. He's trying to get us to understand something. And there are 13 maskil psalms in the entire book. This happens to be the first one. The study notes, which by the way are available free, they're free on Sermon Audio once we upload this and edit this and everything. You can get it there. You can email us. We posted on Facebook the email address so that we send it ahead so you can study Psalm 32 with the study notes. It's free, and we make that available on our email post on Facebook, and also when we post this on sermonaudio.com or our webpage, the PDF file is attached, so you can study that. But anyway, there are 13 maskils. This is the first one, and the rest of them are in our study notes, so you can look them up and see it for yourself. So, ang salitang maskil ay nangangahulugan ng turo. Turo. Or understanding. Kaalaman. Karunungan. So, si David ay magtuturo sa atin ngayon ng patungkol sa kapatawaran ng Diyos. At kung ano-ano ang mga matututunan natin patungkol sa kapatawaran ng Diyos. This psalm is a psalm of divine forgiveness. And there are some things we need to learn about God's forgiveness. Divine forgiveness. Significant. And that's why this is a maskil, a skillful psalm of instruction, understanding, teaching. So, maskil, that's what it is. There is another psalm that David wrote that also talks about divine forgiveness or the forgiveness of God, and that is Psalm 51. So, Psalm 51 and Psalm 32 are very similar in that they talk about the forgiveness of God. So Psalm 51, the famous Psalm, Psalm 51, where he recalls his sin against Uriah and Bathsheba and the Lord and against himself. Okay, so David sins. He sins all over the place. He sins against all those people, but more important than anything, anyone else, is David sinned against God, and he brings his sin before the Lord in confession. He was broken, and he confesses his sin to God. And you know what? The Bible says, go over to 1 John. Let's look at this. I think I'm getting ahead of myself, but let's see. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. 1 John chapter 1 verse number 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's conditioned upon true confession and repentance and brokenness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and not just to forgive. The idea of forgive is to send away. No, kapag tayo ay nanalangin sa Panginoon at kinumpisal natin sa Diyos ang ating mga kasalanan, ang Diyos ay tapat at husto, o meron siyang hustisya, at inaalis ng Diyos ang ating mga kasalanan. Kaya importante yung confession. Okay? Pero hindi tayo nagko-confess sa tao. Hindi tayo nagko-confess sa pare. Ang confession natin ay sa pananalangin diretso sa Diyos sa pamamagitan ng pangalan ng Panginoong Hesukristo o sa pamamagitan ng Panginoon. Siya, si Hesukristo, ang ating pare. Siya ang nagbibigay sa atin ng kapatawaran ng ating mga kasalanan dahil kay Kristo. Oh, hindi naman tayo pinapatawad ng Diyos dahil mabait tayo, mabuti tayo, meron tayong kakayahan. Hindi tayo pinapatawad ng Diyos dahil nagagawa natin ang mabubuting mga bagay. Ang mabubuting gawa ay resulta ng kapatawaran ng Diyos sa buhay natin. Pero hindi yan ang dahilan kung bakit pinapatawad tayo ng Diyos. Si Hesukristo ang dahilan kung bakit tayo pinapatawad ng Diyos. Kaya nga ang sabi sa 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, ano ang naglilinis sa ating mga kasalanan? Tayo? Sarili natin? No. Ang dugo ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Nasa 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 tayo. No? Tingnan mo ang verse number 7. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So that's the basis of God's forgiveness. God forgives us because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't forgive us because we're so good. He doesn't forgive us because we do good things or we try to do the best we can or we try to live the best life possible and we try to, try to take our dirty clothes and put it in the hamper and the socks, you put it in the hamper. No, that is not the reason why God forgives us. I just had to say that because I know Marcia's probably watching and she knows we transgress. We sin against her all the time when we don't put our dirty clothes in the hamper. Especially Joseph. But anyway, God doesn't forgive us because we do such good things. No, He doesn't forgive us because of us. He doesn't have mercy on us because of who we are, what we do. God has mercy on us. God forgives us because of the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, His blood. And that represents His death, His burial, His resurrection. It represents His atoning blood that takes away our sins. He is the sacrificial lamb who was crucified on the cross. And everyone who turns from sin and trusts in Jesus as their Savior, God takes God takes his his mercy and forgiveness, and he blots out. He takes out, he puts away the sin, and it's as if there was no sin there. And that's because of Jesus, not because of you, not because of me, not because we're so good and we try our best. That has nothing to do with salvation and the forgiveness of God. And David brings us to this understanding of God's forgiveness, the divine forgiveness, the mercy of God. And that's what Psalm 32 is about. So let's look at it. Psalm number 32, sequel to Psalm 51, David's confession. Now, why would David need to confess? Why would David need to ask for God's forgiveness? Well, you remember in 2 Samuel chapter number 11, okay? 2 Samuel is about the life of David. The entire book, 2 Samuel, is about the life of David and the reign of David and how he was successful in ruling and reigning. Well, David, from chapters 1 to chapter 10, was doing good. That's the rise of David, the height of his rulership. But then in chapter 11, he sins against Uriah, against Bathsheba, against himself, against Israel. He sins against the Lord, more important than all of them. He sins against God. And from chapter 11 all the way down to the last chapter in 2 Samuel. Let's see. I think there's only 20 some odd chapters here. If I remember, like 24. Yeah, 24. From chapters 11 to chapter 24, it's the decline of David's kingship, rulership. Why? It all hinges on chapter 11, where he committed a murder against Uriah and drunkenness. He got him to drink. He did some drunkenness there. He did some lying against Uriah, cover up. Deceitfulness. And then Bathsheba, of course, he committed adultery with her, looking at her, desiring her, and then taking her. And then, of course, he sinned against himself in that he was supposed to go to war like any king would have done. But instead, he was lazy, or I don't know what happened. He decided to stay back. Maybe he was too confident that Israel could go and fight without him. Just not good for David. And that's where he saw her and desired her and took her. Sins against himself, sins against the couple, sins against Israel. He asked Joab to cover up the whole thing. And then murder, you know, he murders Uriah. And then, of course, he more than all of that, he sins against the Lord. He sins against the Lord. And God judged him. Sorry, I mean, the Lord is holy and he will judge sin. So, yes, the Lord forgives, but the consequence of sin is the problem. So, and it doesn't matter whether a person is saved or not saved. If you're in sin, God always judges sin. He always judges sin. It's not good when you are in sin. And so the baby died and the kingdom collapsed and David's enemies rejoiced against him and God's name was blasphemed and just a whole decline. Now, when a Christian sins, it doesn't make the Christian no longer saved. You have to remember, salvation is once forever because of the mercy of God. But when a Christian sins, it always brings sorrow. Sin is followed by sorrow all the time. And God judges us. If God judged Jesus, his son, on the cross, because Jesus became sin for us, and God the Father, God had to judge his Son on the cross. Do you think he will judge the sinner? Do you think he will judge the professed believer? Yes, he will. Okay? So God is totally against sin. And every time we sin, God whips us. I mean, God spanks us, especially if we're his children. He doesn't allow his children to sin. And he will always bring judgment. But, of course, when a Christian sins, it doesn't mean he's not saved. He needs cleansing. He needs sanctification. And if you're a born-again believer, you can go to God and ask him for mercy and forgiveness. And if you truly are broken and confess that sin against the Lord, you know what God does? He's faithful and just to forgive you. But he doesn't remove the consequence. It doesn't change the consequence of sin. Let's say you sinned against the Lord and he made you disabled, just as an example, because of your sin, if you ask for God's forgiveness, he'll forgive your sin. You don't have to worry about that. But you're still going to be disabled for the rest of your life or whatever. However the Lord judges, we don't know. But when God judged, the consequence will never be erased. The consequence will never be taken back. Now, the sin could be removed, but not the consequence. And so that's a warning for us born-again believers. Keep short sin accounts with God. Don't think that you can just sin and sin and get by with it. God will judge. But at the same time, if you truly confess and get right with the Lord, he will forgive. And there's a lot of Christians sometimes, they always think about the past and dwell on the past failure. Look, if God forgave you, you don't have to keep thinking about the failures of the past. God's forgiveness is a blessing, is a fountain of life for us as believers. When we ask God to forgive us, he promises not to bring up our sin ever. And so we have that great mercy from God. So let's look at Psalm 32. There's an outline. So merong mga parallels. Kapag pinag-aralan natin yung Psalm 32, meron tayong mga makikita na tumutugma ang mga linya. For example, yung blessing of forgiveness. Alright? Umpisa natin sa blessing of forgiveness. Yung pagpapala ng Diyos na pinapatawad tayo, the blessing of forgiveness, makikita natin yan sa verses 1 at saka 2. The blessing of forgiveness, verses 1 and 2. Etong blessing of forgiveness ay tumutugma sa last verse. Yan, sinasabing A prime. A at saka A prime. Yan yung tinatawag na rejoicing. Rejoicing in forgiveness. That will be verse 11. So yung unang verses ng psalm ay tumutugma sa last verse, sa verse 11. Patungkol yan sa forgiveness ng Panginoon. Blessing of forgiveness, rejoicing in forgiveness. Tapos, yung sa laman naman ng psalm ay personal experience. Personal experience, yung naranasan ni David. Makikita mo yan sa verses number 3 at saka 5. Verse number 3 and 5. Kaya yung B prime naman, makikita mo rin yung personal experience. Verses 9 to 10. magkatugma ang verses 3 and 5 sa 9 to 10. Patungkol yan sa naranasan ni David, personal experience. So, ang letter C, pinapakita dito kung ano ang ugat ng, o yung heart of the psalm. So, nakikita mo talaga kung ano ang emphasis ng Panginoon sa psalm na ito. Ito yung verse number 6 tsaka 8. So, this will be godly wisdom. Ano ang natutunan ni David patungkol sa kapatawaran ng Diyos? Godly wisdom. And that will be verse 6 hanggang 8. Tama ba yan? Yes, 6 to 8. So, ito ang tinatawag na kiasem na pinag-aralan natin sa psalm. This is another way of demonstrating a chiasm, and we learned about the chiastic structure of Hebrew poetry. Don't ask that question, Pastor Tessin. I know what you're thinking. But you can see how God's, the Hebrew poetry matches and parallels each other and gets to a certain point. The structure zeroes into the heart of the psalm. And the heart of the psalm is what David learned about the forgiveness of God. And so Psalm 32 explores the mercy and the forgiveness of God. And he gains godly wisdom because of what he experienced in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and the consequence and the confrontation that the prophet Nathan confronted David on his sin, and David learned about the forgiveness of God, and he shares it with us here in Psalm 32 and also parallels Psalm 51, but we're looking at Psalm 32. All right, so let's read this here. A Psalm of David, Maskil. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. So it's a blessing. If you're a born-again believer, we have the blessing of God's forgiveness when we confess our sins to him. And notice the words concerning sin in verse number 1. He talks about transgression. All right, the word transgression means rebellion. The word sin is mentioned there. That means to miss the mark, not doing exactly what we're supposed to do, not hitting the target straight up. That's sin. Then there's the word iniquity. Iniquity, that means perversion, wrongdoing, perverse. And the point is, in Psalm 32, verse 1, a psalm of David, Maskil, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. The word impute means to put in place of. So, itong tatlong mga salita na ito ay transgression, sin, at saka iniquity. Pinapatunayan sa atin ng Diyos na kahit ano ang iyong ginawang mali o ano ang iyong kasalanan, may kapatawaran ang Diyos para sa iyo. That's the whole idea of verse number 1. God, doesn't matter what your sin, your transgression, or your iniquity is, there's always forgiveness and covering and God imputing it not unto our account on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. God forgives all kinds of sin. All kinds of sin. And it says here, in whose spirit there is no guile. This is for the born-again believer. This is for the Christian who wrestles with sin, who struggles with sin. God has forgiveness for you. It doesn't matter what kind of sin you've committed. If you truly are broken and confess and ask God to forgive you, he is faithful and just to forgive you. Verse number 3, when I kept silence, this is when I didn't confess my sins against the Lord. This is when I hid my sin against the Lord. This is what happens. Sometimes when you sin against the Lord, you don't confess it. You don't get rid of it. You know, you hide it. You're in silence. You don't fellowship with the Lord. When a Christian is in sin, they are not fellowshipping with the Lord. They're silent. They don't pray. They don't walk with the Lord. Verse 3, when I kept silence, what happened, David, when you kept silent about your sin? When you didn't come forward with your sin, my bones wax old through my roaring all the day. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Oh, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. So there you have, he was being destroyed internally by his sin. And that's the truth. When you hide sin, when you're silent about your sin, God is dealing with you. And there goes the moisture, the joy. turn to drought. Oh, man, thirst. And there's bones wax old. Does God deal with our health when we sin against him? Sometimes he does. Not all the time. I'm not saying that if you're sick or you have a disease or something that this is automatically it's the judgment of God. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that God will deal with us in our body, in our health, when we don't fellowship with him and when we are in sin. Certainly, no doubt that health and is related to the judgment of God. Not all the time, again, not all the time. But if you feel, if you don't confess your sin, God can punitively punish you. And we see that in the scriptures. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30, for example. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 30. Let me see here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. For this cause, because of the Corinthian church was sinning against God by abusing the Lord's Supper. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So the Lord judges, no? Binibigyan ho tayo ng hatol ng Diyos paminsan, hindi palagi, ha? Hindi ko sinasabi kung may karamdaman ka, ikaw ay sinumpa ng Diyos, at ito ay dahil sa iyong kasalanan. Pero sa mga anak ng Diyos, sa mga Kristiyano, totoo ho yan sometimes na pinapalo tayo ng Diyos sa pamamagitan ng kalusugan. Kung hindi tayo marunong magkumpisal sa Kanya at tayo ay nabubuhay sa kasalanan, ay talagang papaluin ka ng Diyos. Suwail ka eh. Hindi ka nakikinig sa Kanya. Kaya kapag ikaw, Kristiyano ka, hindi mo inaayos yung lakad mo sa Diyos, talagang papaluin ka ng Diyos, hindi ka pababayaan ng Diyos na mabuhay sa kasalanan. At lahat ng kasalanan na ginagawa natin, meron ho yan hatol. Sumusunod ho ang kalungkutan tuwing may kasalanan. Tandaan nyo yun. Now, so David experienced his bones waxing old, his roaring all the day long and not accomplishing anything. And day and night heavy, his hand was heavy upon me. The conscience, nakukonsensya si David sa kasalanan na ginawa niya dahil siya ang nasa mali. Kaya hindi mapalagay ang kanyang isip, hindi naging matuwid ang kanyang pananaw, ang kanyang mga hatol, ang kanyang mga desisyon. Kaya yan, pag binasa mo talaga yung 2 Samuel, magmula ng simula na nagkasala siya kay Uriah, kay Bathsheba, at sa Diyos, at sa kanyang sarili, at sa bansang Israel, bumagsak ang kanyang kaharian. And so when you study 2 Samuel chapter 11, from chapter 11 on down, his rulership declined because he was in sin. So if you don't want God's judgment on you, make sure that you ask God for forgiveness and cleansing and confess your sin. Be broken about your sin and do away with your sin. Confess and forsake, the Bible says, your sin. And he will be faithful and just to forgive. But sin is not worth it. Sin is not worth the judgment of God. Huh. All right, so verse number 5. Ito yung naranasan ni David. Verse number 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. So kinumpes ko sa iyo, Lord, inaabot ko sa iyo ang aking mga kasalanan. At hindi ko tinago, Lord, yung aking mga pagkakasala. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. That's wisdom, isn't it? That's what we need as Christians when we sin against God. We need to acknowledge our sin unto the Lord. We need to not hide. We need to not lie. We need to not defend ourselves. We need to confess our transgressions unto the Lord. Go to God. Go to God in confession. Don't go to the priest. Don't go to your friends. Don't go to anyone. Go to the Lord, confessing your transgressions, your rebellion against God, your sin, that is, you're missing the mark, your iniquity, that's your perversion, that's your messed up self. You go to God and ask God for forgiveness. And the Bible says, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. David said that. God forgives the iniquity of his sin. See how faithful and just God is. If you're truly broken and sorrowful, and you confess and forsake your sin, God will have mercy. God will forgive. Verse 6, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. You see, every born-again believer understands, seek the Lord while he may be found. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Every born-again believer knows that when we mess up, when we sin, we must go to God while he may be found. And every time you're truly broken, God lives there. You know, God lives in two places. He lives in the heavenlies, high and lifted above all of man. God is almighty, omniscient. He lives in heaven. But you know where else he lives? The Bible says he's with the down and brokenhearted. He's with the repentant. He's with those who are willing to confess their faults. He lives with the broken. And so, but God doesn't live in between. So if you're in sin, you are out of fellowship with God. He doesn't live with that. Now, I'm not saying theologically he doesn't dwell the believer. He will always be with the believer, never to forsake him. But practically speaking, a Christian in sin doesn't fellowship with God. The fellowship is broken. Not the relationship, but the fellowship is broken until he confesses his sins. And so for this, verse 6, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. The floods of great waters, talking about calamity, no, sa kapanahunan ng kalamidad. Kapag ikaw ay malapit sa Panginoon, sa oras ng kalamidad, may protection ng Diyos para sa iyo. No, pinoprotektahan ka naman ng grasya ng Diyos. So, verse number 7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, sila. Yung ibig sabihin ng sila, dahil ito ay awit, habang umaawit ang tao, pag sinabing sila, tigilan muna yung pag-aawit at pag-isipan yung katotohanan na sinasabi. Kumbaga, sa awit, wag muna tayong umawit. Yung tugtog muna ang kumikilos, hindi yung boses natin. So sila, pause muna at pag-isipan ang katotohanan habang yung mga nagtutugtog nagpapatuloy. So it's kind of like a time to meditate, a time to pause and stop singing while the instruments are playing, and you're thinking about the truth of that, of what you had just read. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. See, David's focus and attention is now on the Lord, not on himself, not on his situation. He acknowledges God as his hiding place, preserving him from trouble, compassing him about with songs of deliverance. Verse number 8, I will instruct and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. So the Lord comes into verse number 8. This is no longer David. This is Jehovah God speaking to David and speaking to us. So when we confess our sin, forsake our sin, and come clean before the Lord forgives, and then the Lord directs, the Lord guides. So he forgives us, and then he guides us. He begins to show us what the right way is and what we should be doing. And he guides us, the Bible says, with his eye. The idea of being guided with his eye is that he doesn't have to shout. He doesn't have to grab us. He just looks at us with his eye, and we know what we're supposed to do. This is a parallel Psalm 33. Look at Psalm 33, verse number 18. Psalm 33, verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. So when you ask God to forgive you, he is faithful and just to forgive, and then he shows you the right way, the way that you should be going. All right, verse number 9. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Okay, so don't act like a dumb animal. When God shows you, forgives you, and shows you what you're supposed to do, follow the Lord. Do what God said to do. Don't become a stubborn mule. Don't become like that. Surrender to the Lord, and he will guide and he will direct. Verse number 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Oh, what a promise. You like the promises of God? Do you like the promises of the Lord? Here's a promise. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. So if you do the wrong thing, do the wicked thing, you can guarantee sorrow follows sin all the time. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. You see that? There is mercy that surrounds you when you trust in the Lord. Verse number 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. So the heart, God doesn't control your heart. You have to control your heart. God can control the weather. God can control the devil. God can control circumstances. God could control the entire universe. But you know what? The one thing that God chooses not to control, do you know what that is? It's your heart. And you can be wicked in your heart, or you can be upright in your heart. Your choice. God doesn't make the choice. You make the choice for you. So you have to choose whether or not you'll be upright in heart and fear the Lord. Trust in him. Call upon him and and ask for forgiveness. Or you can just keep on going your own wicked way. Like a stubborn animal. Like a mule. The judgment of God will be poured upon you, especially as a born-again believer. And so, we who have found him to be faithful and true, rejoice. We're glad, we're so happy, and we shout for joy because we experienced the forgiveness of God. Have you ever experienced the forgiveness of God, the cleansing that comes through the blood of Jesus? When you sin against the Lord, your conscience is smitten, things aren't right, until you get to the place of confession. And then God forgives, and your heart is clean. You may have to suffer consequences, but it's okay. I'll take the consequences because I'd rather have a clean conscience. So anyway, that's the lesson now. I guess you could summarize the entire psalm with, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." All right? So the blessings, the divine blessing of forgiveness, Psalm 32. Next week, we'll look at Psalm 33. And again, I want to thank Pastor Tessin for substituting for me for the past three Wednesdays or more, and just thanking him for that. All right? Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the truth that we find in Psalm 32 concerning the forgiveness of our transgression. Our sin is covered and our iniquities, Lord, are not imputed to us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that is the basis, the reason for the forgiveness of sins, for erasing, taking away the sin, sending it away. We thank you for his great sacrifice on the cross. And when we think about how he suffered, it certainly is not worth our sin to hurt the Savior that way. Lord, forgive us, Lord, and cleanse us, I pray. And Father, I pray that you would be glorified in our lives. Lord, help us to live for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right.